Good morning, church. Good to be with you all this morning. Thank the good Lord for the opportunity to be out in His house one more time. You know, it's sometimes you take things for granted sometimes, and I hope and pray that you do not take that for granted whatsoever, but with the health and the ability to get back out in God's house. If you would, turn over to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, if you would, please. I'm going to read one verse. Whenever you get there, please stand and let's read God's Word together this morning. Hebrews 11:1, very familiar scripture. You know this very well. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to read it again. You know it. Say it with me if you wouldn't care this morning. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, Father, I want to thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for, Lord, just giving us this to get together, Lord, and Father, to feel your spirit, Lord, and to feel the things, Lord, of your people, Lord, as we gather together, Lord, and we want to praise you for that. Lord, we ask you now to go with this sermon. I pray, Father, for the anointing this morning, and Lord, we will give you the praise for it all, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. One of the things I was thinking about as I was thinking about this sermon this week, I didn't know, and you probably know this, but do you know there are different types of faith? Did you know that? And I want to talk to them this morning. But what I want to get to is, what I want to talk about first is faith itself. I want to talk about the scripture that we just read there a little bit. I want to go over it. And again, I'm going to read it again. And it says, now faith is the substance, now get this, things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. What are things? Have you ever asked yourself that? What are these things that he's talking about here? What are these things that, as Paul's trying to get it here? You know, Paul was saying Christians should have confidence in what we hope for and what we pray for. Now, I could go to Greg, I could go to anybody else in this church, and I could ask them for stuff, and I could have fairly confident about it, but could I be 100% confident about it? And that's the same way with me as well, as you approach me with things. Because my memory is not as good as it once was. And you may come and ask me for something, and I may forget about it. But can I tell you this morning, Paul was saying Christians should have absolute confidence in what we hope for and what we pray for. Absolutely. Have you ever heard the saying, have you ever heard this, pray in faith believing? How many of you have heard that in here before? Pray in faith. It means when you pray, you believe God can and you believe God will. Can I have an amen? Amen. That's what it's trying to get across to us there. And a lot of scripture points to this. A lot of scripture points to this. And I wrote some of it down. It's scriptures like James 1, 6, and 7. We've all heard these scriptures. And I want to go over them with you again before I go into the meat of the sermon. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, I want you to let that sink in right there for a little bit. When you go to God, whether it's in your prayer closet, whether it's here at church, wherever it is, you better go believing God can and God will. I mean, that's the way we need to go to prayer. It's not go to prayer, well, Lord, I think you... No, we go there, Lord, I believe you can, and Lord, I believe that you will. Or how about Mark 11, 22 and 24? And it says this, and it says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things... You get that? These things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things Soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, brother said, would you go to God in prayer? Don't go to God in prayer believing, well, God, No. You go believing God can, and you go believing God will. When you get on your knees to prayer, whether it's in your prayer closet, wherever it may be, that is the way that you should go to prayer. Now, we also know there are conditions. I'm not up here saying name it and claim it. I'm not that type of preacher. I believe in the power of God. I do. And it's not contradicting what I'm trying to say here. It has to be in God's will. You can read, I'm not going to read this scripture, but 1 John 5, 14 and 15, you can read that. You can write this down. You can go study that for yourself. It also must be and stay in God's will. You've got to do that. That's over in John 15, 7. And we must have the right motives. Absolutely. We must have the right motives. That can be found in James 4, 1 and 3. All those things have to go together. But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you this morning, and I'm not trying to back down from this. When you go to God in prayer, go believing He can and He will. Am I right, Greg?
God bless you.
Absolutely. You go believing He can and He will. That's how we go to prayer. That's how we should go to prayer. And I praise God that we serve a God that can and a God that will. Amen. But what I do believe is this. When you pray, if you do not truly believe God can and God will, there's no hope for your prayers. There's no hope for them. And there must be an absolute confidence in God when we go to Him. Listen, I don't stand up here and tell you that my Father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills and don't believe it. My God that I serve has control over all this. He absolutely do. I believe God can and I believe God will. To not only hear our prayers, but also to answer those prayers, that's faith. That is faith. Right? At its essence, that is faith. The second part of that verse is talking about faith. It's saying this, the evidence of things not seen. What is evidence? Evidence is the available body of facts or information indicating whether a belief is true or valid. I'm standing up here this morning telling you, I believe we serve a God that can. I believe that. There is evidence. The last part of Hebrews 11:1 is telling us, true faith gives us all the assurance we need even without seeing it with our physical eyes sometimes. That we should believe that God can and God will, even though we don't see it with our physical eyes sometimes to believe it. We hear folks talk about heaven. I have never seen heaven, but I want to tell you something. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a place that we are able to go to. Born again, bought by the blood Christians. I believe that we can go there one day. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a hell also. But I believe there is a heaven for us to go to one day. Have I seen it? Have I seen hell? No, I have not. But I'm telling you, my Bible tells me that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And I believe that there is. The evidence of things not seen. Can I have an amen? Because the Bible says, the Holy Spirit, listen to me. Listen, we not only read about Him, right? In the Scriptures, but also we see the evidence of Him in believers. And true believers, listen, if your spirit bears witness with my spirit, listen to me, I will know that. I will know that. It's just like the wind blowing through the trees. This is how I always picture the Holy Spirit. I picture Him. It's like the wind blowing through the trees out here. I don't see the wind, but I see the evidence of it. And can I tell you this morning, if you are born again and if you're a Christian, I will see the evidence of it in your life. John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but camest not tell where it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Can I have an amen? Amen. Even though you do not see Him with your physical eyes, I'm here to tell you by faith, I believe the Spirit is real. Amen. I believe it. I don't see Him with my physical eyes. And He is a He, by the way. Don't let nobody tell you it's not an it. It is a he. With that being said about faith, let's look at some different types of faith that I've seen in the Bible. First off, there's a measure of faith. Go to Romans 12:3. There is a measure of faith. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. This is important. But to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Brothers and sisters, when you are born again, the moment that you are born again, everybody starts out on even ground. We're all dealt a measure of faith. Everybody's dealt that measure of faith. And don't let anybody tell you, when you're saved, the moment that you are saved, that's different from saving faith, which I'm going to get to in a little bit. I'm talking about after you're saved, everybody is dealt with a measure of faith. Everybody, every man or woman is given that measure of faith the moment we start on the same ground. There is one flock, we're all the same flock. And Galatians 3:28 says this, for there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be dealt everybody with the measure of faith. We start on equal ground. Listen, and then it's up to us, can I have an amen, to increase our faith. Amen? It's up to us to increase that faith. How? How does it? Very simple. The Bible tells us how. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, say this with me, by the word of God. That's how we deal, that's how our faith, that measure of faith that you're given, that's how it increases. I'm going to be blunt with you. That Greg may have more faith than Belinda has. Patty might have more faith than Greg has. And I can go around this church. Olita might have more faith than Ken has. But how do they have that faith if they have increased? It's because they've got their noses in that. They've stuck their noses in the Word of God. If you want your measure of faith to grow, it is by the Word of God. That's how it is. Your faith increases as you read the Bible. And as you read your Bible, don't expect your faith to grow, or don't say that God is silent to you if you shut your Bibles for 6 days a week and only open them up on once. Amen or oh my. I'm not saying you don't have that little measure of faith you still had, but brothers, if it's not growing, you're standing still. That measure of faith grows. When the Bible is closed. So every Christian is giving a measure of faith. Every one of us is given that. The second faith I want to talk about is the mustard seed faith. We all know about that, right? That can be found over Matthew 17:20. And what it says, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Now, I don't know if Julie and them still have it back there, but they used to have a little thing back here on the wall that showed you how big a mustard seed was. It's not much. It's not much at all. It's matter of fact, it's very small. But with that small amount of faith, my Bible tells me you can remove mountains out of your life. You can put the devil on the run with a small mustard seed amount of faith. With a mustard seed of faith, God can do the impossible through you and for you. Can I have an amen? If that small amount of faith is genuine, the impossible can be made possible through Jesus Christ. The thing about mustard seed faith is it's pure and it's unwavering. It's unwavering. Mustard seed faith is a step up from the measure of faith. Listen to me, not much, but it is powerful. Amen? Mustard seed faith. Jesus said over there, he said, if you'd say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, what did he say? He said to be removed and cast into the sea, did he not? I'm not standing here telling you something that's not in your Bible. I hope it's in there. But listen to me, that is mustard seed faith. That's very little, that's tiny faith, guys. That's not much. There's times in my life I don't think I have, if there's something smaller than a mustard seed, I tell you, in my life sometimes I feel that I'm not even that point yet. But I'm here to tell you, there, mustard seed faith. The next thing that I want to talk about is great faith. If you would, turn to Matthew 8. Matthew 8, we're going to read verses 5 through 10. Chapter 8, Matthew. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. Now, I want to tell you something about this centurion right there before I go any farther with this. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a teacher. He wasn't some great man that they talk about in the Bible that talks about, you know, that he knew all the scriptures, that he was a fighting man. He was a warrior. And you guess what he knew? Patty, he knew authority. He knew authority. Do we know who's in control? Listen, let's go on with it here. And Jesus saying to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Now listen to you, listen, guys. This is great faith. Said unto him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And I say unto you that thou, many shall come from the east and the west, and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, listen, he understood authority. Who do you turn to in times of trouble? Who do you turn to in times of trouble? I tell you the truth. I want to turn to the one. Listen, I like Psalms 121, 1 and 2. It says this, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and which made earth. Amen? That's where I want to turn to. The centurion understood that. Great faith that the centurion understood authority. Great faith knows who is in charge of every circumstance in your life and in my life. Whether it's disease, addiction, family, finances, whatever it may be, great faith knows that who's in authority. That centurion, you know what he did? I can just see him in just my little mind. Dave, you might understand this. The one that was over him said, you know, it's going to be done. He said, It's done. And he turned around and he walked away. He understood what authority was. Brothers, when the sooner we understand what authority is, brother, we serve the King. That's true authority. That's true authority. God is in control and nothing is impossible for him. Great faith doesn't see barriers. It only sees victory. Great faith doesn't, I'm going to say it again, great faith doesn't see barriers, it sees victory. I'm here this morning to tell you, brothers, listen to me. This centurion, like I said, wasn't some great person in the Bible. He wasn't Elijah or all the other prophets. He wasn't any of that. But brothers, Jesus said, I've never seen such great faith. Praise his name. Great faith is determined. Great faith is undeterred by the circumstances and the barriers that keep them around. Listen, when I think of great faith, I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I can tell you, this is some of my favorite scripture. And they said, for we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of the hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image, but which thou hast set up. That is great faith. That is bold faith. When you look at the King, when you look at a burning fiery furnace right in the eye, and you tell them, listen to me, I know the God I serve is able to deliver me. But you know what? If he doesn't deliver me from this fiery furnace, I got a better place to go anyway, and it's going to be all right. Amen? Amen. That is faith. That's bold faith. Paul and Silas were thrown into prison because of what they believed and what they had preached. And you know what they did at the midnight hour? They didn't lay around having a pity party. They didn't sit down and say, oh, woe is me. Man, my God let me down. No, they started praying and they started singing songs and they said the foundation of the prison was shaken and the doors were open and brothers and sisters, they could have escaped, but somebody was saved that night because of great faith. Amen. At the midnight hour, can I tell you something? You're going to face the midnight hours in your life. You're going to face them. I don't know what's coming your way or what's coming my way. We're going to face midnight hours. But can I tell you something this morning? Get on your knees and pray and praise Him and praise Him more and watch the foundations be shaken in the name of Jesus. There was a great earthquake. And listen, the keeper of the prison got saved because you know what? Paul said, don't kill him. He'd about ready to commit suicide. He's about ready to commit suicide. And he went from about ready to commit suicide to being saved. Don't tell me that God still can't work that way today. Absolutely. Because of great faith. That's bold faith. That's great faith. The next faith I want to talk about is faithless faith. Faithless faith. Turn to John 20:24. John 20:24, then I'm going to go down to John 20:24. I'm just going to read the whole thing starting at 24. You know this story full well. John 20, beginning with verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold thy my hands, and reach hither my hands, and thrust it into my side. And then what did he say? Be not faithless, but believing. And then Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Listen to me, brother and sister. Listen, faithless faith people are just like Thomas. They're not going to believe, and they're not going to believe until they see it with their own eyes. There are some people like that. They're not going to believe until they see something happen with their own eyes. Their motto is, seeing is believing. That is their motto. And many scriptures have one thing in common. You must believe Jesus is who he says he is. And if he is, he will do what he says he does. Amen? He will be saved. Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Jesus give us when he's talking about faith, he give us a list of what he said would happen with faith. And every one of them is you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Every one of them. There's like 10 to 15 scriptures, and I'm not going to go through all of them, where it said you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You got to believe that. There's just no way out of it. The Bible also talks about, listen to me, I want to say this one last time. There is a faith, there's some people that aren't going to believe until they actually see something happen with their own eyes. I'm here to tell you, Jesus said, blessed are those that believe yet have not seen. Amen. Amen. That's not a faithless faith. That is a faith that believes no matter what. The Bible also talks about a visible faith. And the visible faith, he talks about that in Luke 5:20. I'm not going to go about it. What he's talking about is God knows where you stand faith-wise. Can I have an amen? He knows where you stand at. He said he's seen their faith. That's what he's talking about there. He said, I've seen their faith. I've seen what they were like. It doesn't matter what you're thinking right now. It doesn't matter what you think you're doing. God knows where you stand faith-wise this morning. He knows your faith. And also, the Bible talks about little faith. That's over in Matthew 6:28-30. Matthew 6:28-30. If you would, let's turn there. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how that they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. Whereas if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For our heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But verse 30, he said, O ye of little faith. Can I tell you something about a sparrow? Maybe this is why they don't worry. They don't watch CNN or Fox. They don't pick up the newspaper and read the nonsense that's in there every day. Can I have an amen? They go out and God takes care of them each and every day of his life. That's how the sparrow is taken care of. God says, aren't you so much more worth, more value than the sparrow? Are you not? He loves it. Listen, little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. I mean, that's less than a mustard seed. I'm here to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, listen. There's all different kinds of faith. You're given that faith the moment that you are saved. And it's up to you to increase that faith. Help that faith to grow. Believe more and more in the God we serve and in Jesus Christ, his Son. Then the last faith I want to talk to you about is the saving faith for anybody here. Belinda, come and get a song this morning. There is a saving faith for those who are willing this morning to step out. I don't know your hearts this morning. I don't know. But I know this, that Holy Spirit I talked about earlier, if he's dealing with you, what he's trying to tell you, and you think, oh man, this is true. I need to get to the Lord. That's the saving faith that Jesus Christ is talking about. And you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to come right up here to this altar this morning. Get on your knees and pour your heart out to God. Pour it out to him. You don't have to talk to me. You don't have to worry about nobody else in this church. Listen to me. If God is dealing with you and the Spirit is dealing with you, don't you worry about what anybody else in this church is going to think about. That's not what it's about. If they're thinking bad about you, they need to be up here too. Amen? There's a saving faith. And I'm here to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, that God has that for us whenever Jesus Christ died upon the cross. You know what? If I had a thing called a faith meter and I would give it to you and you would punch it upon yourself, where'd you think you'd lie at? Do you think you're like that centurion? Do you think you're little faith? Do you think you're like Thomas? I mean, we can go right on down the line. But brothers, I'm telling you something. I'm not up here to put you down, because all of us go through this stuff all the time. We've been there. What I'm telling you is you don't have to stay there. You don't. This altar is open this morning. Belinda, if we get a song, please come.